Vikings family, it's so nice to be back. This was Murder Most Foul. It's a whole lot of crazy in this episode.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Is that it? Are we on? Oh, it changed, the beginning. Hello, AfterBuzz family, Vikings family. Oh my God. It's way too long. We're in the big camera with you guys. It's been way too long. We're back. I'm back. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Yaku. We are going to jump right into this amazing episode with my two co-hosts right here.
He's not even singing. I'm doing the murder.
I know you're doing it.
Most foul.
Wait.
I'm doing the murder most foul. We're still in the big camera.
Cheers.
Cheers, everyone. Vikings fans, welcome back. My name is James, and this was a Murder Most Foul. Oh my God, this was crazy. I was like, I'm still, my butthole is still clenched a little bit at the end.
Hey everybody, your boy Al Greg back again. Glad to be with my brother from another mother, Yaku, and
yes,
young half black, and I'm full half black,
and I'm from Africa, there, so it all go. Works
so
out.
He's all black. By the way, don't forget, Steve, I'm gonna go close up here. I got my phone on, not because I'm being rude, but because I'm reading your comments live. You guys are a part of the show. You are our fourth host. And before we go any further...
Absolutely.
I have to... Steve, I think this is a big camera shot. We all three of us, we are sending all kinds of love to Carrie D'Lane. So for those of you who have been watching for... I think she was with us seasons 2 through...
Nothing happened to her. Nothing happened to her.
She's fine. In fact, it's very good news. Yes. She has... still a part of the AfterBuzz family and still will be doing shows here, but she's got a sweet gig that unfortunately takes her away from y'all on Wednesday night. So she's occasionally going to be in the comments. She's occasionally going to fill in, but Carrie D'Lane is not with us as a weekly host now. So
we will
please
miss her.
Send your love. We miss her. And congrats, Carrie. We love you.
Absolutely. Skål for Carrie.
Skål for Carrie. And skål for Steve that's on the camera. And then
Steve,
Al,
what up?
Hey. Did you even say hi?
The voice of God.
Did Al even say hi? Did you say hi?
I.
No, hi.
Hi. Oh, I did say hi, but I'll say hi again. Full half black. Here we go.
That's right.
Oh, you did. That's right.
And in the room, Danny is blowing it up. Danny already has so much going on. Danny Johnson, welcome to the live chat room. This is crazy. Taxanubo, welcome back. It's nice to see you again. Carrie is in the live chat,
Carrie. Let me tell you guys, Carrie is going to be there. Yes, Carrie. Call in if you want, Carrie. We want to hear your voice. She should be working right now. That's the whole point.
She's at work, right?
We're at work, but it's fine. Take a break. Guys, as always, we're doing Vikings. We're doing timelines. What is it? Timelines? What do you call it?
Yeah, storylines.
Storylines. Yeah. We're not going to go chronologically through the episode. So we've got three short storylines. We've got two short storylines that we'll be going through. And then in between somewhere there, we're going to do a fact or fiction segment for you guys. We've got a few good fact or fiction options that you guys want to comment, and we'll read those off and see what you guys think, if it's fact or fiction. So let's just jump right in. I think we're already 2 minutes in, so let's just go for it.
Let's just do...
So we're going to start with the Iceland, the short one, Iceland. Not a lot going on there. James, what do you think?
Except for tears, I was crying because Floki, man, this guy, can you tell he comes from an acting family? That was good. I believed it. I believed that Floki actually is legit sad that... Like, he is having a moment. He's like, maybe I haven't been seeing the gods all these years.
Yeah, okay. So we know he saw the gods in the waterfall.
Uh-huh.
Like, a few seasons ago. It was Freya.
Or did he?
Well, he did.
That's the point.
I mean, okay. Well, so he obviously didn't, because it was a waterfall. but he's legitimately sad. He thinks he's going crazy. So not a good foresight for what's coming for that whole community there. The leader that took them there is crazy. Mm-hmm. The other people want to kill the crazy leader, and there's one pretty lady that believes in him.
Right.
That's basically what's going on.
That's it. Which was sort of a theme throughout the show, by the way. Like the one pretty lady that believes in someone.
You gotta have one.
More on that to come. What else was going on? I think that was it in Iceland.
That was it. Like, the food isn't growing, it's raining, it's miserable. Like, there's going to be some kind of avengement of death of brothers killed and all the stuff that happened in the previous season. They didn't lead too much into that storyline, so let's move on. Because there's not much there.
Hold on. We got to do our official... Take your Iceland paper, everybody. We're done with it. Steve-O, here we go.
Bam!
I bet you we only do that on Vikings.
There was no.
Oh, here we go.
There
Hi,
was
Steve.
No. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. Is
oh,
in the studio.
Steve's in
Did
the studio. That's why.
Am I moving too much?
That is why there was no sound effects. But Steve's in the studio. The voice of God is not actually being the voice of God. The voice of God is in the studio right now. So Iceland, we're there. But I have a feeling just while we transition away from Iceland that a lot more is coming there. I think it's going to get really interesting down the season. Because Floki, as we have mentioned here, is absolutely one of the most fascinating characters. I believe he can probably carry the show on his own. Though,
and he's been there from the beginning with
the
Ragnar.
Beginning.
You guys remember that, right?
Yeah.
He's been there from the... Oh my God!
From
when
Jump
he built
Street.
The when he built the first boat that took them to Europe,
right?
One thing that's disheartening. I think you guys are all been speaking on that. It's just disheartening to see him. Like he was the only, he had the most faith to be someone to have a crisis of faith like that. Because if he doesn't believe, then like who does at that
then
point?
Who
oh,
does?
That's
right.
A great point.
Look at you getting all deep and philosophical, Al.
Well, why don't you do that, Al? Get deep and philosophical, if I said that right,
yeah,
on Freydis for me. So we're moving to Kattegat.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on Freydis?
As our girl Carrie said, Freydis is using the power of the...
of the P.
The power of the P. And,
the P? What?
The, you know, and...
The V.
Pussy. Yeah, I should make more of a V. Make more of a V.
Or the V.
Well, that is... one. That's one strike for James. I'm going to write that down.
Last week we said it. Thank you, Steve. Steve's back. We said that at least 9 times last week, Al, and we didn't get in trouble for it so far.
Well, now you did.
Okay, one strike against. Okay, here's what we got to acknowledge, though, guys. I mean, she's been playing. She says everything that Ivar wants to hear. Not that he's just special, not that he's just chosen, but he is a god. And she's basically, in this episode, naming the other gods that are his siblings. I just thought that was remarkable. And this god's your father, and you're going to have a son, and our son is going to be a god. So she's taking it there, and she's making him believe it even more and more, even when he kind of doubts himself as far as, like, being bone
full. And he does doubt himself, doesn't
he? Yeah, he does doubt himself.
But he's also eating it up.
Who wouldn't, man? Who wouldn't?
Do you guys think, so in the comments right now, it's a little bit quiet. Let me know. Do you guys think he's eating it up? Do you think that Ivar actually think he is a god at this point?
At this point, at the end of the episode, yes. At the beginning of the episode, no. You know, she was saying all the right things to the point where he was like, this is my new wifey. And, oh, by the way, she's going to be queen. Like, you guys have to accept this. And, of course, they're still partying, right? They're still like, oh, yeah, whatever. But she takes him to this place throughout this storyline with this that he... Because that's been Ivar's bit number one thing, like his self-doubt, right? Because of his legs and because of his bonelessness and he can't live up to his brothers and whatever. This is what I believe is really what drives him. And then she prays right in on that. She just goes right in and she goes in 100% and it clearly pays off for her.
It does pay off. I want to clarify one thing about the bonelessness. So you guys have been talking about his penis doesn't work or whatever the thing is. Just remember, okay, let's not get carried away here. When he was born and he was like a day old, Ragnar dubbed him Ivar the Boneless.
I remember.
Okay. Yep. So again, and then that's...
Wow. Way to throw back and remember, Yaku. But I will tell you, everyone in the comments this past week, by the way... Al, they thought we were all idiots last week. Me, you, and Karen.
What else is new?
I know, right? That's all right. Yeah, I feel like I need to say this, by the way, because we do this every season. We just remind you guys, we are not historians. Mm-hmm. We do not have PhDs in history. And while we do our education for y'all as a part of the show, like sometimes we get it wrong. And that's why this is a conversation with everybody. So if you know some facts like y'all did in the comments this last week, y'all broke it down because you were like, look, historically, this boneless thing had everything to do with his dick not working. It had nothing to do with his legs.
But can we say this, James, which kind of ties the points together and what Yaku was saying? Because the story in the show is different than history, that may have been why he'd been called boneless in history. But in the show, he is named by his father boneless from the jump. And I don't think, like, you know... Ragnar was looking at his junk when he said boneless.
Oh, good Lord, I hope not.
I hope not. In the comments, we've got TuxNubu1990 saying she seemed to have the same amount of faith as Floki. And I'm assuming you're talking about
Freydis.
Yeah, in Ivar, because Ivar and Floki is also very close to each other. So that's an interesting thing. She's also very convinced that she is talking about boneless, in regardless of what that means, that she will bear him a child. Right? Now, James, from a medical perspective,
Well, from Jump Street, I have to give myself a little props. Because the second she said that, what did I say when we were watching this? I was like, oh, she finna hit it with some other dude.
Like, well, it's the same night. I mean, it's like a,
well, she, but
a few
she,
minutes.
I mean, right, we need to get to that. There's no way, by the way, she would know on the same night that she's with child.
Which is why it was a dream.
What was the Viking version of the Holy Spirit? You know, that maybe that's how she
something.
Got
something. I don't know. I mean, Odin was forever coming to them or
there
whatever.
You go,
but
there
like,
you go.
She was like, so this is, I wonder how fast forward they went in time. I mean, women can know fairly soon, but certainly not the night of. But that's why I was like, I knew this from the beginning. I'm like, oh, she's just going to hit it with somebody else. That this is easy. This is a time-tested story. Can't get pregnant by your man. So, didn't En Vogue write a song about it?
I don't know. Who's that?
Wasn't there some song? Somebody wrote a song. Oh, no, Heart.
Okay, I know.
Heart wrote a song about it. Can't get pregnant with your man, so you go sleep with another man, and he gets you pregnant, and then you tell your man that it's his baby. Like,
that's been going on since probably the beginning of history. I feel sorry for the poor guy, because what's going to happen to him? She don't want him hanging around.
Okay, well, you guys are talking like it happened. It didn't happen.
That she's pregnant?
Well, act. We saw the act.
So let's break this down, because this is important. So it was a dream.
We're not talking about the dream.
Well, you're talking about when she said she's pregnant.
No, we're talking about when she snuck out.
Yeah, real quick and went to sleep with another guy.
Oh, that was right. I thought that was the crazy. That was Marguerite. I missed that.
They're all blondes.
I missed. Can we please? I'm blonde right now. All right. So maybe now this episode makes complete sense. Okay. Right. Now I've got the whole thing down. Okay. I'm so sorry.
Maybe we didn't bring you and the viewer along with. Okay. Al and I are over here rapping about how she went and grabbed that dude and threw him in the barn.
I just thought it was somebody else. The random dude. But now my question to you guys is, the whole thing where she says she is pregnant, is that part of the dream? So she said, okay, I'm with child, and he's super happy. She turns into Marguerite, and the most awful, foul death murder of Ivar. So is that first part in true that he actually tell her? Because now it translates into Ivar going up to, you know, King Harald and telling him that, oh, but she is with child. So where does reality in the dream actually like crisscross?
Good question.
And they didn't make that explicitly clear afterwards. Like, you're right, Yaku. See, Yaku got deep on us. We're over here talking about random sex, Al. But they don't make it explicitly clear whether or not that was still part of the dream. But either way, the point is that Ivar believes it. So whether it was in person or not, Ivar believes it to the point that he's willing to go tell his brother and King Harald, like, well, I actually don't give a F about you guys right now because my girl is pregnant and he's starting his dynasty.
And in the back of the heads, don't you know they were all like...
They were like,
I don't know.
And mind you, this is all in the same night. Not even a night can be 8-9 hours. This is all in a few hours.
But it was all right. What do we think? I don't know, because Ivar's hair was kind of snatched the next day. Like, he woke up, somebody did his hair, like, he put his face together.
Hello, swag.
Right.
Well,
right.
This happened to the point where Marguerite, that is, it seems like, held captive in a cabin in the woods, has heard that Freydis is with child as well. So this story has obviously spread, right? She's not.
That's true. Good catch.
Right?
So this story has obviously spread from who? I don't know, but obviously King Harald or Witzig, like, kind of laughing about it and talking, telling people. Maybe Ivar is, like, spreading the news. But so everybody now knows that she's with child, so I guess that it is true.
And Taksanubu in the comments astutely said it appeared to be early fall to start off, and then it was sort of like early to mid-winter when everyone knew the story, which could have been a couple of months. Which would be clearly enough time for a woman to know whether or not she was with child, even in those days.
Okay.
So very astute. I'm down with the timeline here. It makes a little more sense than
definitely a time jump.
The same night, right?
As Dex Nubu is saying. Okay, so Marguerite. I'm looking at you, kid. Okay, in Marguerite, let me know in the comments, guys. Is she just batshit crazy or apeshit crazy? Like, which crazy is she? Because this girl is, like, off her rocker. Or is she just scared?
It seems like she's come down from being just totally bonkers, detached from reality.
From the point where she was getting,
when she was, like, mad, picking up, you know, thinking she's picking up bodies. Log, yeah. But just to being, like, regular cray-cray. Like, I'm supposed to be queen and, you know...
Like, everyday life. Yeah, like, LA traffic cray-cray.
That type of crazy.
But did she? Can we just fast forward to this part? I mean, first of all, last week they had her locked up in the pig pen, legit the pig pen. And then this week, I mean, he's got her chained up, and I sort of feel like Vitsik is trying to be nice to her. I think he has, like, compassion for her. I feel like, you know, I'm a nurse practitioner. I was like, oh, I wonder if Vitsik has, like, got a little nurse in him. Like, maybe he's a little compassionate. But then, man, do you think he set up this death? Or do you think Ivar set it
up? That was gnarly. That was a good point. I wonder. Because I like the dream when, am I skipping too far ahead? When Ivar has the dream that it's actually Margaret stabbing him.
Mm-hmm. You're actually going backwards, but okay.
Okay, or whatever. He's switching their places in
we're
in
all confused.
In his head. and then he wakes up, you know, and he's like, okay, we got to get rid of her. And then she was so bold talking to his brother, talking to Vitsurk about how he has to kill her. My other husband didn't kill him. You have to kill him. I was just amazed. So I wouldn't be surprised if Vitsurk actually coordinated with that, with Ivar, or, you know, Ivar just did it himself.
Well, okay. So you're saying Ivar might have did it himself. Maybe Vitsurk. This is my thoughts. My thoughts is she made a very, very good point when she spoke to him. Are you a coward? He's like, no. Because he's not a coward. He's like, he'll kick Ivar's ass.
He's,
I know he will.
He's a son of Ragnar.
He's a son of Ragnar. Like, he is, like, you know, amazing. And so I think that kind of hit home. And it genuinely looked like he cared for her. So this whole thing that happened is 100%, from my perspective, from Ivar. Because even going to King Harald, like, what are we going to do about Crazy in the cabin? Like, she is going to kill us all, or whatever he said. So it was Ivar.
And Ivar saying it in front of all of these people maybe probably forced the issue. Like, I'm wondering if Ivar thought, well, now I have to do something about it because I said something about it and Vitsik still hasn't done anything about it. Hmm. But that, come on now. I don't care who you are. First of all, like, don't get me started on mental health issues in the first place. But we're going to keep this cool. It's a Viking. It's a fictional, historical fictional show. Like, whatever. But don't, nobody deserves a knife in the back when they're trying to run away.
Nobody. Nobody deserves it. In that time and place, maybe like 1100s, like those guys are out as assassins, or they are just said, "Listen, please go to this cabin, go kill this lady." So what are you gonna do? Not kill her? Or are you gonna catch her and then stab her from the front? Like, just it's the 1100s. They don't give a fuck.
Like, I guess they didn't, but I feel like there's more respectful. Like,
it was also a little bit more dramatic. So it was well done, you know, Michael. It was fair enough. But it was like, let's talk about that. Like,
but did it take that many guys too? To that many assassins?
Well, they just want to make sure, I guess, because she is that crazy.
Well, okay. Well, whoa. Right here, Steve. Yeah, right here, Steve. She is that crazy, or Ivar is that scared.
Oh,
I see.
Okay. Look at that! Do we? Did you want to clap?
Can I get some kind of cheers in there? Like,
yeah.
Nothing. Not even an axe throw,
yeah.
Steve.
So, yes. There's the axe throw. We got a couple other people showing up in the comments. Appreciate you guys, Travis. Thank you for coming in. And Emmanuel, Margaret is not crazy. She is just obsessed with being queen. And I think Ivar set the move because he got afraid with the dream. 100%. That's likely the most plausible storyline, I think, that Hearst et al. Set us up for, was that he got crazy with this dream. Margaret was there. She stabbed him, and he was like, I got to off her, because we all know that Ivar has no hesitation about killing someone to get where he gets. He killed his brother.
Ivar killed his brother with an axe, but he's also very good with the short knives, like throwing them, like when they had the gorilla. Oh, yeah, you guys know we refer to the gorilla fighting, the crocodile fighting on the ground.
Like, with the rolling around
short knife. So it's kind of like his steel. I'm being called out here by Dax Nuba saying that it was my first F-bomb. So thank you for that. Keep me on check.
Right, we're
also, Dax is saying that I think Ivar ordered the kill, but maybe Vitsik was in on it. I don't know about that. I disagree. I think it was completely Ivar. And I do think, early prediction, that Vitsik is... Having her said that to Vitsik, like, are you scared? You should kill him and be king, and then I can be queen. So... Sorry, put the queen aside. He thought about that, and now with Ivar killing Margaret, there's going to be some issues.
Oh, because that's going to motivate him more.
Yeah, okay, of course. Okay. God damn, he killed my crazy life wife, which is...
I thought he was going to wife her.
Which is...
Right.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even go there. Yes. So now Vitsik is going to have even more reason to hate Ivar like he did before.
Like he had it before.
Are we doing your paper?
Let's do the throw the paper.
Ready, Steve? This is a nice transition time, I think,
Yaku. Yeah, let's do that.
There are a couple of particulars we have to get out of the way, but I don't want you guys to forget, by the way, that we are doing fact or fiction later and predictions. So we want you in the live comments here. If you are commenting after the fact, we always love to see those comments. Thank you for checking us and keeping us real. By the way, so AfterBuzz produces all kinds of shows, after shows, for all your favorite TV shows. So drama, reality, TV, historical fiction like Vikings, it doesn't matter. And AfterBuzz is the best at doing it. So, but we need your help with this because AfterBuzz is doing very, very well, the ESPN of TV talk. But we want you to subscribe to this so you know when we come on or after shows for any of your other shows. So by subscribing, of course, YouTube will suggest other shows that might fit for you. If you like them, subscribe to those shows as well. Click the like button. And of course, on YouTube, if you ever get pesky notifications, you just go to the little cogwheel options and take away the notifications or whatever. But we would love your love on a subscription, subscribing to AfterBuzz on YouTube. So hit that button. Let us know that you did in the comments because comments always mean a lot. And don't forget, you are watching the ESPN of TV talk now. The big storyline, Yaku.
The big storyline, exactly. So we're going to go to Wessex. I must say just right there, James, in the end of the previous season, we got not... I remember you saying that I was watching you guys in the last episode. You said like 4,000 comments. That's a lot. It wasn't 4,000. It was about 400 comments, which is still an immense amount. An immense amount of comments. And we appreciate it so much that you guys take the time to actually write your thoughts down. And I think now if you rewatch these episodes, your live comments as you are writing them right now will actually play as well on YouTube for somebody rewatching the episode later. So you can actually see that. But also after the episode, when the episode is done, write your comments down, write your predictions down, what you think will be happening in the next episode. We love that shit.
Word.
Okay, let's get to Wessex. So I think Wessex, let's just, you know, there's a lot going on in Wessex. The first thing I think we should tackle is Hedmund arriving. All of them are there. And Alfred asking, listen, to Aethelred, do you think he's changed? So I want to know from you guys, what do you think? Do you think that Hedmund has changed, and in what way?
I always believe his heart is still always going to be with England and never left. But his romantic heart is with Lagertha. You know, I mean, but I think he's loyal. He's loyal to King Alfred, and as we see, you know, he proves it too.
So he's always been loyal to King Alfred. That didn't change. He is madly in love with Lagertha. That has changed.
That's new.
For sure. Okay. What about his faith? What about his alliance?
I don't think, dude, ever. From the very first time we met Bishop Hedmund, the end of season three,
four.
End of season four.
I hope that's right. The last we'll be called out.
You guys check us in the comments, please. I know you're going to. That very last scene where he's in the bed doggy style with his cross on and his robes. That was our first introduction into Bishop Hedmund. And that's, I don't think his number one loyalty is to the church or to Alfred or to Lagertha. I think it's to his penis. And I don't think any of that has changed whatsoever to the point where he's willing to kill for it.
Because Guilford, exactly, Guthred, which died in this whole scene, because that, like, Guthred called him out on it. And he proved it.
And King Guthred, is that a... Guthred?
Guthred.
Guthred, he made the classic mistake. We saw that Ned do this wrong in Game of Thrones when he went to Cersei, and he's like, I know. You never go to your enemy and say, I'm going to call you out. You never reveal what you know. You just move. You go straight to the king. And so, I mean, come on, man.
Okay, so I've never watched Game of Thrones, but now... I'm waiting for the last season to finish, and then I'm going to watch everything at once. You won't see me for 4 months. But what I'm saying is, thank you, now you spoiled it for me. But anyway.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
And there's another rule number two, but we'll get to that later.
Right.
Yeah.
But this, I thought it was so great. My favorite person is becoming Alfred, like the adult Alfred. Easily, because even in that first scene, just to back up a little bit, when they walk in and Hag, you know, he was like, there wasn't a lot of words, kind of like me. I'm very wordy tonight for some reason. But Alfred was like, why? Just
why
stone
trust,
face.
Why trust them? Why?
Why did you bring them?
Yeah.
Why?
He's questioning.
He just straight up, and he, there wasn't like, I can't believe you did this, and you know this puts us in danger, and these are pagans, and he didn't go on and on. Alfred, because we all knew that. And Alfred was just like, why?
He's not freaking out.
I thought it was like the most boss move. Like he was like, he is king. This dude is crazy clever, crazy wicked smart already, and I love it.
The throne suits him.
The throne does suit him, and the crown as well, because it looks good on him. But now, do you guys see how valuable it was with King Egbert, like, training him all those years? Mm-hmm. His father wasn't, Æthelwulf wasn't in the picture, but King Egbert has been training this kid for, like, years and years and years, and it's coming through, and he even said that, so I think it was kind of cool to see that coming through. He is stone cold, but he's thoughtful. He's, like, he's rock solid. That's what it is. But no, the whole question is the Vikings. So he's saying, like, why did you bring them? He's explaining why they have to fight with us. The Vikings, on the other hand, in the jail cell, is like, we are in shit because these guys completely, like, played us for a trick.
They did play them. And it's so funny they were having this, like, infighting. And Lagertha, I almost wonder if Lagertha is also not, like, head over heels. Like, she's motivated by love, just like Bjorn called her out. Because he was like, I'm glad the mighty Lagertheric is making stupid mistakes based off of love now. And she's like, whatever.
Yeah, you don't even know love. You don't even know what love is. Now, guys, I think it's 16 minutes before we have to end. So I think before we move on with this Wessex storyline, let's do a quick fact or fiction segment. Do we have any music for that, Steve? Okay, not music, but it works.
Or are people
screaming? Can I get, at least get an axe throw into some body? Thank you very much.
That's a good one.
That works. Okay, fact or fiction? What do we have, guys?
Oh my gosh, what we need fact or fiction? Fact or fiction? Well, we can back up a little bit. Fact or fiction? A woman will know that she is pregnant on the first night.
Fiction.
Big time.
I did listen.
You're like, I listened to that part. I feel like these deaths. You know, I'm always going there from, a medical perspective. So the entire time, I want to save Lord Cuthbert's death until a little bit. But the entire time, Marguerite got stabbed directly in the back. And she turned around all chill.
I mean, that thing went straight through the lung.
Right.
So she was talking fine, and then straight in the front.
Would she still be talking fact or fiction? Nope. That knife's going to puncture her lung. She's going to be like, all kinds of short of breath right away. She might not die right away, but she's not going to be turn around and be like, please don't kill me. I'm loyal to Ivar. Like, she's not going to have the breath.
She's going to suffer. And I made the point that she's, like, there's no point in saying don't kill me because you're dead. It's the 1100s. You're dead. You've got two knives sticking through you on both ends, like a barbecue. All right. My fact or fiction, this is jumping forward a little bit. Where the new bishop is saying to Heimut, saying that, or he wrote in the letter and saying, well, you know, you fornicate daily. Fact or fiction? Do you guys actually think that Heimut fornicates daily?
He said almost daily, I think. That was the funny part.
Almost daily?
He said almost? I didn't catch
that. I thought he did.
We do something else.
Well, do you guys,
daily.
Fact or fiction, almost daily, do you fornicate?
Do I fornicate personally?
I fornicate in my mind almost daily.
Wow.
Let's bring it back to Vikings. Heimut.
Does Heimut fornicate daily? Yes. Yeah. Fact. 100%.
All right. Steve. I also think so. I don't think it's almost. I think yes. This guy has got a serious plot to talk about. There's a whole lot of crazy in this episode. Not that that is crazy, but he fornicates daily, not almost.
Good for luck,
though.
She's getting it. That
Al, what do you have?
Honestly, this is kind of a curve for me because I wasn't planning to weigh in on them. But if we're going to get in talking about the people like fornicating, can I jump ahead to another character?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Princess Elswith. I think that we've already established that she's not only fornicating with Bjorn, but her and Bjorn shall be fornicating daily.
Ooh. Fact.
Total, no, I don't know.
Fact. Oh, yeah.
I think fiction. I think here's why. Thank you. I was trying to hum some of that. Steve is on it tonight. Steve cut his beard and his hair, by the way. But you're looking good, Steve. You're looking good. We just can't call you King Egbert anymore because you don't have a beard. So, no, because she jumped in the bed. We are jumping forward, but we are also running out of time. So, Princess Elswith comes in and sits on the bed, and she's like, I'm going to do my best impersonation. I shouldn't be here.
Bam!
And starts, like, taking her stuff off. Whatever. I'm like, girl, you wouldn't have walked all the way over there if you didn't know you wanted some of that D. And then she gets in the bed, and then she decides to tell him, I'm a virgin. And that's why, Yaku, I think this is going to be fiction. I don't think they're going to hit it every day. Because I don't think Bjorn knows how to have, like, gentle sex. Like, I don't think he knows how to, like, be nice to her.
Romanticize.
Like, romantic. Like, remember, he's a Northman, he's a Viking, he's whatever, and I think it's going to scare the shit out of her.
And she's going to love it. Is this music, is this the end of the episode, or is this, is that Steve playing a music
keeps for us? Going. I think Steve went...
Because I see some time left on the timer. I don't know. Okay, so that's not the end of the episode. I got concerned because we got some stuff to talk about, but no. Yes, it is going to scare the shit out of her, and she is going to love it!
I don't think so. I mean, I hope he keeps it appropriate. You know, we have had some like sexual assault situations on this show. That's not, I don't want that. That for her, that it would be bad. I don't want Bjorn to do that stuff, but I just think they're going to have lovely consensual sex, but it's going to be too much for her. It's going to freak her out and she's going to run.
But we got to give King Alfred some game here. I already gave some game early, you know, about to the priest, you know. Never tell, you know, your enemy that you're coming to have dirt on him.
Yeah.
King, husband, whoever, the minute your prospective wife comes up to you and say, I heard a lot about that guy over here. What's his name? Bad sign! Bad sign!
Who that guy with the mohawk and the blue eyes with the fur on his neck looking at me all over the table?
Who is steady like this the whole time?
Oh, that's Bjorn Ironside. Oh my God, I heard a lot about
and
him.
And he goes and keeps talking, yeah, he's a great warrior, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh. Good call, Al. Yes, never. If you're around your table at your wedding and you don't want to like, look at the cross table, like, oh, who's that date that your sister brought? It's delicious. No. And that's what she did.
But don't you think, because she did that, don't you think Alfred is smart? This man is running the shit out of like one of the greatest empires of history right now, and he's already playing people against each other. We're going to get to that in a second. Like, he's already figured stuff out. Like, he was a boss with Bishop Hegman, who was like a boss before he became king. Like, Alfred is ruthless in his own like nice young man way, and so I think he was like, oh, she's not really into me like that anyway, but I need to marry her like politically. So I think he was like, all right, whatever, like you can go do your thing.
So you think he's a
your...
step ahead of the game, and he's gonna
he's a step ahead of the game, so he's politically playing the game, he's, you know, joining the kingdoms, whatever the thing is, but he's gonna be completely fine with Bjorn Bjorning her as a Viking.
Because I'm not even sure Alfred... I'm not even sure Alfred, your namesake, I'm not even sure Alfred is really into the ladies.
That kind of passed through my mind. You know.
What's your read on that, James?
I don't... Why, just because you got to ask the gay guy?
Absolutely, yes, I have to ask the gay guy.
Yeah, but I think I called that out last season. I think I was like, I'm not sure Alfred's really feeling the ladies, but he was a little young then to whatever. Now I feel like... And maybe it's not even that. Like, maybe he's just not, like, overtly sexual like the Vikings are. That doesn't make him gay or anything. It just makes him not overtly sexual. Mm-hmm. So I think he actually doesn't care. Like, if his wifey is going to help him politically... stabilize his country and love his church and do all this kind of stuff, but if she's getting like, some Viking D on the side, like, I think Alfred's fine with that.
Viking D works. Travis is saying, this is a little bit off the trail here, but Travis is saying Bjorn is known for founding the House of Manzo in Sweden. He was the king of Sweden and a dynasty that ruled for many generations, and also Bjorn was the one who played dead in the coffin in Paris, not Ragnar. This is true history. Which is kind of fascinating.
Wow.
Because this happened like season 2, 3 or something. So I can't even remember. But the Ragnar playing dead in the coffin. That's pretty amazing. Thank you, Travis.
And Travis, thank you in the comments. Emmanuel just also brought up an amazing comment that I completely forgot about. This is why we love you guys as the fourth host of the show. Emmanuel wrote, also remember the prediction of the seer that Bjorn will marry a princess.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa!
I want you on the show as a guest,
right,
Emmanuel.
Right, right. But you are a co-host. Thank you. Keep the comments coming while they're here, y'all. And, of course, after the fact. So,
that was interesting. So, yeah. So Wessex. So, now we're moving on. So, we've got the whole thing with Alfred. Now we're in the forest, and we have Lagerfrau, and we have Aemund, and these guys are fornicating daily. And we've got this one-eyed fact. And we've got this one-eyed spy, kind of, which is the other bishop's spy, spying on them.
Right.
He's a spy.
When you didn't know at first who the spy was from. Like, was it Lord Cuthbert's spy? Was it Alfred's
These
spy?
These guys are clever. You guys knew that was him. Did you
right.
guys know?
You're like, you
guys knew.
You knew. And poor guy with his cataract. He could only see one eye, but you don't even need eyes to see that. You can smell it the way they was going at it.
The beast with two backs.
Right. Too bad I had to look that up. I mean, I had a good idea, right, of what it was, but I was like, what is a beast with two? That's a beast with two backs. They sure are getting it.
So let's talk about this real quick, jump through a quick few points because we're running out of time. The land situation. So he can give the land to them. They realize now that the papers was never King Egbert's to give them all the land. What's going to happen?
I was a little concerned about that, about what's going to happen from that. How can you be the king of Wessex, but then the land wasn't yours to give in the first place? Was it because it was still Ayla's land?
So what happened is there was all a very pre-planned, organized situation where he made his son Aethelwulf king a few days before he was actually going to sign over the land to the Vikings, but it was all planned. It wasn't just an accident.
That's right.
And so he's like, take Aethelwulf, take your children, take Alfred, and run away, whatever they did. And then he stayed and signed the land over, but it was never his to give. And that's why he said it. That's why it's so difficult for Alfred to give over the land, because now he's got the church against him, and the church wants to kill him, and it's got all this drama going on in Wessex, like, you know, desperate housewives. And that's the whole story.
And the story, I think, that Alfred, again, why he's so clever and so cunning, is he jumps right away. He's like, okay, I'm an Al, as you said, while we were watching, divide and conquer. Like, he knew, and one of you guys said it in the comments, too, he knew he couldn't go after Bjorn, but he was like, all right, one way that I can give you guys this land and we can honor my grandfather's wishes is for you to renounce your paganism and
talking
get baptized.
Uba, right?
Yeah, but he picked Uba on purpose because Uba is weaker than Bjorn. Agreed?
Well, maybe he's smarter or less arrogant than Bjorn. He's playing the person that's going to play into his plans because he's so clever. Exactly what you said earlier, James.
And we saw the same thing with Rolla. I mean, nobody likes being in their brother's shadow. I think that always comes down to.
Which plays in every single scene almost. It's with Vitsek and Ivar, and now it's the same thing.
Ube, and yeah. So I did think that was funny. This scene was beautiful. Ube's like, I got nothing to say to you. Like, I'm out. And then he was like, but what if you do this, and then I can give you some land? And he was like, I'll have some wine.
I have some wine. Let me think about what you said.
About that.
And let's talk about the last scene, the last storyline between the bishop, the new and the old Guthred, and Heath Maimund. Obviously, the one wants, we've kind of talked about this already, but the one is the one to be in power, and they explicitly said that Haman told him that my struggle is spiritual, with like walking through the desert and the devil challenging you. This guy's challenge is power, money, like authority.
Right.
Which is more of a physical, like a impeding situation. So I think it's kind of okay to, especially as a bishop, to be like, okay, my struggle is spiritual, which all of us, or especially those guys in that higher like spiritual levels, would be like, okay, you know, you always are challenged or whatever, so you are, you know, you've got challenges in that way, but you shouldn't be in that position still worrying about money and women. And he's not worried about women. He just fucks them. But you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Are we on the same page here?
That's two F-bombs for
you. That's two of me. And I don't mean it. And I mean that's a bad thing that he's doing. He's a bad person. He shouldn't do that. I didn't mean it in that kind of way.
I call BS on all of it.
Okay. What do you think?
Hegman's playing that reverse psychology with Lord Cuthbert. Of course he is. He's doing it. First he came in and he was like, I'm going to do some veiled threats. I'm going to just be like, by the way, this is mine. And I'm going to rough you up a little bit. And Cuthbert is like, actually, it's not yours. And you're a sinner, and you're... Sorry, I'm burping because I'm drinking this Diet Coke. You're a sinner. I'm going to stay on this throne, like, or throne or whatever, bishophood. You can't have it. And I think it is absolutely about the power. It's absolutely about the money. It's absolutely about the power of the P. It's absolutely about everything for Hegman. Exactly the words that are coming out of his mouth that he's accusing Cuthbert of is exactly what he's thinking inside of himself. Like, he's so driven by that power, by that money, by all of that.
So what separates them then?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Hegman's stronger, like physically stronger. That's it.
I got to say facts too. And I was thinking about that the whole time he was saying it. And the only thing I think that does separate the two is that the Caethered, the other...
Cuthbert?
Cuthbert.
Uh-huh.
The bishop.
Or Cuthred, yeah.
Yeah, the temporary bishop. When they said he...
I like that word better. Temporary bishop.
Alfred said he had... showed more passion, more clerical passion. I mean, you know, maybe he does. Maybe this guy, like, he loves... Mm. He did love, you know, the jewelry and the ostentatiousness of
the
it. And, yeah, and the appearance. And
the
I think,
ice.
Yeah, the ice and all that. And I think Hegman was right on that regard. But at the end of the day, yeah, I don't think he's much better.
He's worse. I think he's worse. Yeah. Cuthred was just a conniving little whatever, and he ultimately was going to try to overthrow Alfred. And yes, I think a portion of this had to do with Hegman's true actual loyalty to who he believes is the true crown, which is Alfred. And he's proved that in the past. But no, this was all about Hegman was like, no, I want my power back. Mm-hmm. I want all this back. I was riding high, and then I ended up, you know, getting captured by the pagans and da-da-da, whatever. This is exactly why he killed dude in one of the goriest death scenes maybe ever in Vikings history. Like, well, that was crazy.
Other than the gold in the mouth in the previous season, but... Yeah, so straight through the eye. I thought he was going to leave it at that, then obviously he killed him, which I was kind of disappointed. It would have been so much cooler if he actually just left it there.
Was that an eyeball?
Oh my God.
But with this death, hold on before we go past this death, because we got to wrap up in a minute, guys. We're going to give you guys some predictions. But this death, hold up. There's blood everywhere, and there's a dead bishop, and there's knives.
Which
in
knife?
In the church. Thank you, Steve. Exactly. Like, somebody's going to see this, and there's going to be a whole murder investigation. And they didn't have CSI then.
That, or the two girls that saw the knife and ran out in the beginning of the church.
Right, right.
So we all know it's Hedman, and so does the king. The point is, Hedman loves the king, and that's what separates them, because he wanted to kill the king.
Mm.
Yes. So let's head straight to predictions to see what's going to happen next week. No music?
Dun,
okay.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, yeah, it's there.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Brief. Let's briefly predict our...
Can I go with the prediction?
Yes,
get it, Al.
Okay, we just got through talking about that heinous murder scene where Haman murders the temporary bishop and usurps him. And you guys were the first to bring up how bloody that scene was. And, you know, he left the knife. And I got to give props to you. I don't know if I'm stepping on your lead, but we were talking about, you know, maybe the pagans will be blamed. The Vikings will be blamed.
Word.
Here's the thing. I think not only did the Vikings get blamed, but he inadvertently puts Lagertha at risk.
Yes.
So... I don't think he thought it all the way through.
I don't think he thinks that much to start with.
Because he thinks he doesn't think with his brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. That's what I said before.
What do you have, James?
My prediction is that Margaretha's not dead. It was way too many dream sequences, and she was way too crazy of a character. You know they'll kill anybody off in this show, but I don't think they were quite ready to kill her off. She's too good of a writing tool, frankly. I'm not sure she's actually dead.
So you're predicting this before or after the slit of throat?
Margaret, no, I don't think she's dead. I think it was a dream.
Okay, I do think she's dead, since her throat was slit,
right.
And she was spewing her blood, and it's the 1100s. But I think that Ivar is obviously did it, and I think Witzig is upset about it, and I think Ivar is actually going to kill Witzig, even though Witzig wants to kill Ivar. I think that's going to happen in the next few episodes, that those brothers are going to really go head-to-head with each other.
Oof. Get it, have it.
We're done. Both cameras.
Both cameras ready. 1, 2, 3.
No, that's just uncoordinated. Guys, thank you so much for joining us here for Vikings season 12. No, season 5, episode 12. The most awful death, or the murder most awful.
A murder most foul.
Foul, same thing. My name is Jaco Vinnings. You guys can catch me at Jaco Vinnings, but I'd rather have you go to www.grapeunknown.com. If you love wine, if you want to learn about wine, go there. There's a free wine course you can sign up for. It's always there. So if you love wine, visit the website, sign up for the wine course, and learn something about wine.
Get it. I love some wine. If you want to learn a little bit about health, I'm a nurse practitioner. You can follow me at AskTheNP, mostly on the Instagrams.
Hey everybody, your boy Al Gregg, a.k.a. Full Half Black. You can find me on IG too, Algie_JamaicaHouseFilm.
Cheers. Bye.
Love you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.